Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden on this most unbelievable Indian winter in decades and decades and decades in Colorado ever seen. It's just beautiful outside. It's a beautiful spring day, except we know we will be punished for this.
What's the Game of Thrones? Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. But I'm Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Okay, obviously, lots to talk about with the NFL halftime show.
And we'll get money.
We'll get to that in a second. But wanted to start off with sort of breaking news, at least breaking here in the last 24 hours. We've been talking on the show about with Ray Garcia, a grassroots warrior who got the petition for the state central committee, made up about 400 people, GOP leadership, to hold a special meeting to talk about the quote dire financial situation that the party finds itself in under the disastrous leadership of Britta Horn. Initially, Secretary Russ Andrews said that he wasn't going to validate the petition, but then over the weekend changed his mind and said upon review, the petitions are valid and therefore the meeting can be called. Now that set in to, I guess, motion, Chuck, a clock essentially that ran out. Britta Horn had under the bylaws just a certain amount of time to call the meeting herself. If she didn't, which she did not, that gives the members the right to call it. And the secretary himself, Russ Andrews, said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and call it. So now a special meeting to discuss the failed leadership of Britta Horn has been set for Saturday, February 21st. At 10:30. You know, it's astonishing because I think, Chuck, don't you? It's important. Number one, her second vice chair, Richard Holtorf, resigned in disgust. Now you've got Russ Andrews, who said he probably will resign.
And the prior vice chair, Doug Phelan, said, yeah, we need to get everybody there to stop this.
We'll talk about that. Yes.
Yeah, so this thing by Britta Horn, who just, no matter what happens, he just, her an attorney, he keeps on billing us into bankruptcy. And
well, to explain the situation. So, I mean, whether you support Britta or don't support Britta, whether you're an establishment or whether you're a grassroots person, the situation is, as Ray said, it's dire. Britta only has $5,000 more in the bank than she had at this time last year. She's had disastrous fundraising. And at the same time, she had to take out a loan on the party. The party is stuck for the loan, not Britta. And she still owes $14,500 on that. She owes roughly $140,000 to her attorney, Steve Klenda. What's interesting is both Holtorf and Andrews and Phelan before them said the only person Britta listens to is Steve Klenda. I keep saying we might as well call it the Colorado Klenda Party because every dollar that comes into the Colorado Republican Party goes to pay Britta's personal attorney, Steve Klenda. So, of course, he's going to encourage her to keep up with these unnecessary lawsuits. The more unnecessary lawsuits and motions she files, the more money he makes. I mean, that's a total conflict of interest. Yet Steve Klenda apparently is calling the shots in the Colorado Republican Party these days. That's comforting.
Yeah, well, he's up to 145 and increasing every day. So he soon be hitting that 200, maybe a quarter million level. That'll be a bit of a climb to hill for anybody who succeeds. Of course, I think they'd say we fired you a long time ago. You owe us 140,000.
And that's what the special meeting will be about. The state central committee members will vote on a couple of things, but largely do we or do we not want Britta to stop all of this unnecessary lawfare? And even if you think it's necessary, you can't have necessary lawfare if you can't pay for it, right? It's like, so she needs to stop it. That's what the vote will be about. There will also be a vote taken on no confidence. Do we have confidence in her leadership? And I'm just going to read a little bit. Darrell Phelan, the previous chair, or vice chair, had a great thing today saying, show up or surrender, why Colorado SCC members must attend this meeting in force. He said, here's the thing. She said, we are watching renewed efforts today by Britta Horn to delay, diminish, delegitimize the meeting, including public resistance from Chair Horn. But let's be blunt. This is no longer about bylaws interpretations or procedural nuance. It's about whether the grassroots still matter and whether the party has the courage to hear an answer it may not like. And I think he's really right. I mean, however the vote turns out, he says a packed room would send an unmistakable message that the decision reached is legitimate, representative, and final. Whether the outcome mandates a change in leadership or supports Horn and brings a formal closure to the debate, it must be decisive. I mean, we don't have time to waste here. So I think that's true. I would say whatever side you're on in this, you need to show up at this meeting. Hey, and you know what? Everybody knows where we stand. If we lose, we lose, right? But I would argue to people on my side that if the message is overwhelming by the SEC, or at least the majority, that they want to keep Britta, that they want to keep having lawsuits that they can't afford to pay, then that's the vote of the people, so to speak, and we all have to live with it, just like they have to live with it if it goes the other way.
Yeah, except Britta's going nowhere. She is a sloth on the road. And that it doesn't matter if a truck comes and runs her over. She's not leaving the road.
No, well, I mean, we've heard that the congressional delegates, thank you very much, who shoved her down our throats in the first place, have all asked her to resign, and she won't. Well, then she can't. Like I said, the only person she's listening to is Clenda. If Clenda says, you know what, Britta, you should stop this ceaseless warfare, I mean, he's not going to get paid. So he's got nothing to lose. He's telling her, no, keep fighting. You're right on this, you know? And meanwhile, he's racking up more. Every time she refuses to honor the vote of the state central committee, Clenda makes more money because there's no other recourse but for the grassroots to go to court, to ask the judge to tell Britta to not be a dictator and follow her own rules. And Clenda makes more money. I mean, that's what this is all about, really, you know?
Well, it's just, you know, bill him out Clenda. I got to give him credit. He tried to bankrupt Ralph County when she was a treasurer and left him with a $80,000 bill. But he's, now that's, you know, inflation adjusted. We're moving up there.
Right. Well, and keep in mind that when all this started, this is all about really at the core, who picks the candidates for the Republican Party. Initially, they being the establishment, they wanted Britta in and any grassroots person out because the grassroots have been and continue to push for opting out of the disastrous semi-open primary. The establishment likes that because that's where they get to, you know, have their bought and paid for candidates. They want the open primary and they want to go even further. They want to get rid of the assembly. So they get Britta in. And I mean, Chuck, you've been one of the leaders in the opt-out movement. Has anyone even said opt-out, you know, in like the past 6-7 months?
Well, no, because the party's, you know, doesn't even get there yet, because now it's fighting for its life, to tell you the truth. I mean, the question is it going to be a party at all, or should we just go full all-Democrat? I mean, you know, maybe we should all join the Democratic Party and just be the right wing of the Democratic Party, because certainly Phil Anschutz and Coors and all the people who used to pour money into establishments have given up. That's why John Caldera, Dick Wadhams, you can just go through the worthless ones, and they say, oh, no, people don't like parties. And what really happened is they found out that their candidates, that independent voters do not like washed out Republicans who are semi-democratic. Their whole thing was, if we just had people who were almost Democrats on gays and guns and everything else, they like us on the other issues, the cultural issues, or some of them, And it turns out, no, they're not going to vote for Republicans no matter which way you go. Colorado, with its ballot harvesting and everything else, is a Democratic state. So how do they get control and get things? Well, they go to jungle primaries, maybe ranked choice voting, and so you never know who won or why you won or anything else. So,
Well, and that's why I think, let me get in text here. I think that, again, that the establishment and particularly the congressional delegates and the elected officials who shoved her down our throat, they're the ones who want the open primary because they benefit from it, because they know that, your grassroots Republicans would not nominate them to be the candidates. And they got that, right? And they basically abandoned Britta now. She hasn't been able to raise any money. I think hopefully some of these candidates will sort of step up. And from what we've heard, they have asked her to resign and she won't. And maybe they
well,
could
they need to do so publicly. It doesn't do
exactly.
us any good for them to say, "Oh yeah, I told her." Yeah, how'd you get a hold of her? I mean, no, you didn't tell her.
Well, and tellingly, there have been some, articles, the Colorado Sun picked it up, Denver Gazette picked it up, Colorado Politics picked it up. The media that's controlled by Phil Anschutz, who's very much an establishment guy, right?
He is that
He is
establishment.
the establishment guy. Yeah, he has, he's they're now doing articles about this. So you got to figure that even that has gone too. Hey, and I see Mark Hampton. We always he comes on and I God bless you.
Excuse
And I pick on him right away. Hey, Mark, if you want to turn your audio on, I know you've been involved as always in stuff like this too. Are you there? Yeah. Oh, Mark, so go ahead if you want to, and you can unmute yourself if you want to weigh in on this. If you don't, if we just picked on you accidentally, then you don't have to.
me.
But
Didn't
feel
mean to
free.
embarrass you,
There you
but
go.
no problem. I'll just listen for the minute here. I got in a little late here,
Well, we're
so.
talking about the fact that that Russ sent out the special call for the special meeting, and then said, we're talking about former vice chair Phelan's thing, saying, "Hey, look, whatever side you're on here, you need to show up for this meeting, right? Because Britta's trying to claim, oh, it's not legitimate. It is legitimate. We have the petitions. She's trying to argue wrongly that Russ doesn't have the authority to. Russ has the authority to validate the petitions. And if she doesn't call the meeting within a certain number of days, then any SEC member, including Russ, has the authority to call the meeting. But let me ask you this first. I think whatever side you're on, people need to show up and vote. So at least we know, right? Like I was saying, if people say, look, no, we need a change in leadership, we need to get rid of these lawsuits, then they have to listen. If they say, no, we like these unnecessary, expensive lawsuits, and we love the job Britta is doing.
We love Kendall
Okay, well then
Hall.
I guess we have to listen, right? I mean, what your take?
Yeah, well, I'd like to be on the Clinda train is what I'd like to be on.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I should take some lessons from that guy on how to make some extra money on the side.
Yeah,
I
you got
don't
to get your billing up there. Well, and
No
apparently
kidding. My
he's the only one that Britta listens to, right? So what's he going to
Yeah.
say? No, Britta, we don't need any more lawsuits. I haven't made enough, and particularly because he won't get paid if she's gone, I suspect, right? So
Right.
he's got to hang on for everything, and he's got nothing to lose. Well, he's got a lot to lose if she leaves,
Yeah, about
basically.
100 grand.
Yeah.
So
150 grand. Yeah,
yeah.
no stinking 100 grand.
Yeah, so I think Russ was in the right to do what he did. I've been on contact since that came out this morning with a couple of people just to be sure the footing was right. And everything I've gotten back, the footing's all there. And you're right. We all need to show up. Now, the issue that I brought up was the motion in front is just no confidence, right? And someone's going to need to come from the floor, amend the agenda, and add a motion to recall.
Yes.
I
Yes.
mean, that's what needs to happen, and I think that's where the pushback comes because they know that that's probably a very possible probability to happen.
Well,
And but the bigger question comes in, Julie, is who's going to step in, who's going to run it, where are they at with the infrastructure to run assembly already? Because
yes.
we're in a place right now, not saying that she has any of this in place, but I had another conversation with a mutual friend the other day saying this is a large concern that we need to be thinking about because if the night before, if she just decides, I'm out of here, okay, who's going to step in?
Where's the strategy behind for everybody else to say we have something in place to move it forward so there isn't a problem, or at
I got you.
least try to minimize the problem?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think Julie has gone to, we had a guy coming to repair all of our weight machines, and we need that because I'm so buff. Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody be better than Britta. I mean, at this point, I mean, we'd love you to take over. Tagger, our dog, he could take over. I mean, anything could take over and get people all on the same page. I mean, the one thing she's done, and give her credit for this, she's united the Republican Party against her. I mean, really, there's almost no one left. She lost her treasurer. She lost her vice chair, and then her next vice chair. She lost her secretary. She lost her bylaws committee person. I mean, there's no one left she hasn't burned through out there.
And I would guess, Chuck, that she has no infrastructure because no one wants to jump into the dumpster fire.
Well, who would? I mean, I'll give Richard Tech credit. I mean, he's a classic liberal Boulderite, and we all love those in the Republican Party. But he decided to get off his sailboat and jump on the Titanic as it hit the iceberg, and he got served personally in a lawsuit the other day relating to the party. So, congratulations, Richard. Good you joining the party, the party's party. But it's crazy. But the only thing we can do is try to say, look, we got to get rid of her. I mean, I don't care who comes in really at this point.
No, but we need to be able to. The worst thing that could happen would be to go to assembly and we can't get the meeting up and off the ground to have our votes for our candidates to move them forward onto the primary ballot.
Yeah, well, I think.
That's where my major concern is, because then they have, unless they've petitioned, they have no way of getting onto the ballot, and that's going to create issues for some of these candidates. Because if you really talk to Greg Lopez, that's one of his fears was is there would be no assembly, and this way I get to go all beyond. And he's always wanted to run for governor, and I've known Greg for a number of years.
Well, I've
Not
known him
saying
my
it's right,
career, but
wrong, or
all it does
indifferent,
is help
but
by running just helps Democrats. So I'm not sure exactly why he's not going to take away any Democratic votes. So, but that's, I guess if you want to run for governor, if that's your heart desire, I have no idea because, like many of these people, really, let's face it, your choice between governor is really between Michael Bennett and Phil Weiser, and so you might as well decide which of those two you like or dislike, because it's if you go wiser, it means you want to kill the state quicker, and maybe that's better. Kill the patient so he can rise from the grave, or if you want to go to Bennett, and he'll kill the state slower. Well, that's your choice if you're talking about who's going to be the next governor, because none of these Republican candidates have a chance in hell. I mean, you got to give Victor Marx credit. He's raised almost $1 million, but the other guys have raised 12.
I know.
They've raised
Well, they're all going to
14.
be, Jason Clark dropped out at the Douglas County Forum. No surprise there.
Okay, so now
I
we
mean,
only have
yeah,
31.
he gets he pledged his votes to Scott Bottoms, so Scott
All
now
right, there we
has
go.
one extra vote.
All right, all right.
I mean, a lot of these, I think.
And I love Scott. He's just a great guy, and I love
Yeah,
his
he is a
wife.
good guy.
Always telling me, "Don't tell him he can't win." But it's a practical matter. What's he raised? I mean, he's raised like 150, $200,000. That ain't gonna do you much good
Yeah,
in
at the end of the
a
day, no,
war.
they're not raising the numbers. Victor's the only one that's got the numbers. But as you and we've talked here many times, is what's the high watermark? Not losing as much as Heidi lost by. But you're right. I mean, are we going to die a slow death here in Colorado or a quick death?
Yeah,
It's
well,
one of the
yeah, and
two.
I can't decide which I prefer more. I know Michael Bennett because when I was legal counsel in Glendale, we did the merger between Denver and Glendale for the fire department. It saved Glendale millions of dollars and really gave a firehouse and great coverage for Denver. But it was hard. It was hard work, and eventually I had to go to a vote of the voters to change the charter. England and Denver rather. And so I really got to appreciate the intelligence of Michael Bennett and what he could get done. But of course, I believe in nothing of what he stands for, right? He's a Democrat, so so it's kind of like if I just decide who do I personally like better, I like Bennett better. But I kind of, this slow death. I mean, why don't we just kill ourselves? Let's take the cyanide and the shot to
Some
the head.
euthanasia. Let's,
Yeah,
we need to go to Canada.
there we go. There we go. But that's your choice, and so you might as well. I was talking to a radio host. He says, "Well, who in the Republican Party do you like?" And I said, "Well, I think the best governor would probably be Scott, but he, the guy I find is most fun and is bringing the most energy and everything else. I go to the Brave Church up here in Westminster, and our pastor, Pastor Jeff, is a big Victor Marx candidate, and Victor would be fun. I mean, they always." One of the main things in politics is, are you making any money at it? And all of us have to go, no. I mean, maybe the Democrats do, but we don't. So what do you do it for? Well, in part because it's fun. Well, Victor's fun.
He
I
is
mean, he's just
he's a
plain
very
fun.
fun guy. I had a really fun time. A lot of people have taken issue with the little bit of the interview I did with him. But he took a couple hard stances where people out on
Well, where can people
social
see your interview?
I don't know if they recorded the whole thing. I don't record it. They might. I think they have. But
Oh, okay.
two couple major things is he did clarify on day one he will commute Tina's sentence on
Oh,
day one.
he's evolved on that one,
Yeah.
huh?
And the second big one, the questions I had, does life begin at conception or at birth? And he said, life begins at conception.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So yeah, there I know there's a lot of questions out there that he isn't taking stance. In some regards, he's not. He's playing it low, but he's, learning how politics works because he isn't a politician. He's a lot like Trump in a lot of ways. He's got a great sense of humor.
Does he? I haven't seen
Oh
that part of him.
yeah, he's got a wicked sense of humor.
All
Very
right.
dark, with that very dark type of hint,
Well,
like
that's the kind of
mine.
humor I love.
Yeah,
So.
that's like mine. So, but he's a pretty good cat. I've been out working with the campaign here over the last
Oh, have
week
you? Okay,
week and
so
a half. Yeah, look at my hat, man.
Oh, Victor. Oh, okay. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to that. All
Yeah.
right. So
So
you've sort of made your choice.
yeah, I kind of got shoved into it. I got we had my wife and I had so much happening over the last 2 weeks, Chuck, and I've shared it with Julie. I'm sure she's talked to you about it, where I just finally said, you know what? I was going to try to stay pretty agnostic until right before assembly, but if I'm going to take this much grief, I might as well just go ahead and make my announcement and apply my skills
Well, good
to
for you.
helping somebody. And that's what
Good
I've
for
done.
you. Well, I think that's great because the one candidate, and I know we share this in common, the one candidate I really hate, I like Scott Bottoms and some of the other candidates. The candidate I hate is Barbara
Oh.
Kirkmeyer. So, and so I'd love to see a debate followed by a mud pit wrestling match between Barbara Kirkmeyer and Victor Marx. I mean, that would be a great
Maybe a
one.
fundraiser. I'm back, by the way.
Yeah, we're
Oh,
I
you're
keep
back. There you are.
yeah,
How's our
I keep
weight
telling
guy? Did he fix it?
Thunderdome.
Yeah,
Yeah. Two people go in and only one comes out.
Thunderdome. All right.
Well,
Well,
so I mean,
anything else
well,
on final thoughts on that, Mark? Heading
wait,
into
final
next.
thought, you just got, will you
I know,
please
I come
go
back and I take
away? What do you
control.
mean, final thoughts? We're not doing final thoughts. I mean,
Okay, sorry.
all of a sudden you pop up and go, final thoughts? We're having
Yeah.
a great discussion here. You can go away again. I mean, my
Yeah.
God.
Well, Julie, as we were talking about, it's going to be so important that SEC members come out. Daryl
Yes.
Phelan and I don't agree on a lot of stuff, but I did read his piece,
I
and
thought it was pretty
he was
good.
very pragmatic about it
Yes.
and dead on. We knew need to show up. It needs to be overwhelmingly. If she hasn't stepped aside prior to, we need to show her that you need to. Now, will she? No, because I'm sure, to
No.
your point, Clenda's down there saying, "Don't you dare step aside till I get paid."
Right.
And there's no way for her to pay it. So the next big thing is, what do you think badge costs are going to be this year?
Oh,
I
well, you know,
I've estimated up to
$1 million.
150, 150.
Well,
Wow.
here's
Do
the thing.
you
Here's the thing
think?
that
what we need to research, because I know in Adams County, when they were battling, grassroots and establishment were battling there, and the grassroots were winning. So the establishment people all refused to pay the badge fees. And the bylaws said that by bylaw, you can't force somebody to pay it. So I don't know what the color, what the state requirements are, right? But
Oh,
I think
wow.
that's
Okay.
worth, I know in Adams County, remember that, Chuck? They had a whole slew of those guys.
Well, it's really thanks or the blame is Dave Williams. He made it so it's voluntary. I mean, if you don't want to pay it, you don't have to. So she needs that.
Yeah, see, one of the things I'm working with the campaign is I'm working on, from a delegate standpoint, on
Right.
trying to help out with getting people organized around delegates. And one of the things I'm talking to them about, hey, just be aware you're going to have a badge fee if you get all the way to becoming a state, because we're trying to get them to their local
Right.
county caucuses first, the local precinct caucus and on to their county. But I said, hey, if once you go to county to state, there will be this badge fee. And I
Right.
can't tell you what it's going to be, but it could be, it says if you ha have a problem at $150, you need to be aware of that now.
Yes. Well, yeah, and again, I think we all need to do some research, and I'm sure somebody can. And well, you know who would know would be like Anna or Hope from the vice chair and the chair before.
Yeah,
I do
we should.
know.
I'll probably have to reach out to Anna and ask
I know
her.
at least in Adams County, it was an issue and they refused to pay it and they were right. They did not. Now, granted, then the next year when they were in charge and we all said we don't want to pay, they hollered and hollered. But they were right that you could not force someone to pay the badge fee. So that'll be interesting. You know, let me answer one question too, because and I know I'm not trying to get rid of you, but I know you don't want to take your
Yeah.
whole afternoon up. I think one thing that might help in terms of pushing Britta is if the congressional representatives and if some of the elected officials weigh in publicly. I mean, we're kind of hearing under the rumblings that some of them have said, Britta, maybe it's time for you to leave. I mean, what are you hearing or what are you seeing the likelihood there?
Yeah, the rumor mill is that all four of them have contacted Britta and asked her to step aside for the betterment of the party. That's the rumor mill, obviously. But here is what I would tell you. One of the things, and I haven't been in this politics for that long, 5, 6 years, is I've never really seen a politician come to the board and say, "Hey, I made a mistake and backed the wrong person or voted for the wrong bill, and have mercy on my
Publicly.
soul, type of deal."
Good point.
That just doesn't happen. So as much as we would like them to come out and do a post, Britta Horn, please resign, we'll never see that.
Good point. Good point. Good
I
point.
mean, we just won't. I mean, I've yet to see anybody do something like that, just even on something minimal, because the conversation around that, I browbeat Gabe Evans all the time. All he needs to do is drop his name and say, "You know what? I made an error.
Right.
I thought this was the right thing, but in listening to you guys and seeing what's going on in Minnesota, this bill doesn't really get to where I think it should be. Therefore, I'm going to pull my name. I'm not going to endorse it." Or Greg Hurd on the GORP Act. I
Right.
mean, no matter how much you beat on them,
Right. They don't. You're
They
right.
all they do is quit talking about it and push it off to the side and say, "Hopefully the news cycle will go away."
Yeah,
Right.
yeah.
Like
And
politics means never having to say you're sorry. So,
yeah, and no matter how much, and I had this discussion online with somebody that says, "Hey, it doesn't matter how much I browbeat, these people just aren't going to change. They're not. All I can do is make people aware of it and make them think the next time maybe they think a little bit more before they make a controversial call, that they go, 'Ooh, how is this going to be perceived by the constituents in my area?'"
well, and
Before.
hopefully people on our side, next time it comes up, say, you know, maybe I shouldn't listen to like what, you know, Gabe Evans has to say about Britta Horn, right? Maybe
Right.
I shouldn't listen to what Jeff Hurd has to say. So, yeah, that's a good point. You're right there,
Yeah.
but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you guys have your show. I just
No,
wanted to
you're
pop in and say hi.
greatest.
I wanted everybody to see my hat. I don't want anybody.
Oh, I love
Hey,
it. You look beautiful.
Julie, just so you know, my hate base is just giant now.
All right.
It's giant.
Yay.
There you go. Mark, thank you for all your work. We'll
All
talk.
right, you guys take care.
All
Take
right, thank you.
care.
Hey, it's like people, it's he gets to back who he wants to back, right? It's like, why should people hate? I mean, if they back Barbara
Isn't that a
Kirkland,
picture
that's
of
one
Victor
thing.
Marx? There was a picture of him.
That's of what? That's Mark Hampton.
Well, anyway, never mind.
Right.
It came
So
up
real quick, because
briefly.
I'm going to
Doug
have
might
to
have
go
put it
again.
up
I have a
there.
busy day today, so I'm going to
You have a
maybe.
busy day. Okay. Well, we're glad to
But
hear that.
Bad Bunny, want to talk about the NFL?
Sure. So, what did you think of Bad Bunny and the performance?
Well, the first thing I thought was it was highly produced. I've seen some video. If you were like in the stands watching it, you had no idea what was going on, right? It wasn't like you were at a concert watching a show, even with the big screen. The second thing was I was surprised, although I shouldn't have been, that it was like all in Spanish. You know what I mean? I thought that maybe they'd say something in English, like hello, or glad to be here, welcome NFL. But I think to me, I mean, one, and I'll let you talk about Roger Goodell being a communist. The NFL is clearly trying to expand its reach in international markets, right? And I did a little bit of research on this. Roger Goodell has now expanded, even though the players hate it, the owners are just about making money. So they've expanded it. Now there are international games to, I think, nine throughout the season, which is ridiculous. But it does seem to be working a little bit. It looks as if, according to ChatGPT at least, the NFL viewership in other countries, particularly Latin American countries, is growing. Now, I think if you were like a Latin American soccer fan and you were stupid enough to watch the NFL game last night just because Bad Bunny was playing, you were like, I mean, it was almost like a soccer score for the majority of the game, right? You would have been like, this is incredibly boring. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you were going to gain many fans from last night's, but I think that's largely what he's doing. So he's like, it's kind of like Budweiser. He's flipping off the regular fans saying, hey, screw you. What else? We're also going to watch football. And so now we're going to, screw you over and, make your experience not so entertaining so we can try to get some people who may or may not ever watch us.
Yeah, well, I don't think it has anything to do with logical marketing. I mean,
Okay.
one of the most popular things in the NBA is in China. China's got millions of watchers in the NBA. I can't imagine them having their all-star game in Mandarin. Okay, folks, we're going to have the halftime show here in Mandarin. I mean, no, they're not going to do
Well,
that.
that's why I said, what if they're saying it's going to be in Polish, right? If for some reason they had some Polish guy, people would be like, what? Did you know what I
We
mean?
wanted to have a game in Budapest, so we'll have it in Hungarian. Okay, that's good. And so it's all the proclivities of one whacked out Roger Goodell. I mean, Roger Goodell looks like a wasp, got the blonde hair, and was good looking before he kind of got older. But he is a commie. He's a sleazy left-wing commie. If he thought enough, and he doesn't think enough, but he's just a standard lefty, and everything you see is left wing. So they started the thing out with the black national anthem. We always love the black, right? Let's start it. Then it gets green play, where they
Okay.
go F Donald Trump or F America, pure leftist, right? And then you get Bad Bunny, who hates America. And you get, okay, you got a nice, some guys humping each other and then lots of girls twerking
And
because
apparently
people.
that the lyrics, when I read the translation, you can see why he's saying it in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty graphic, disgusting lyrics.
Okay, well,
Real
so, but
quick, and
you
then I
got to
see
get
baseball is
everybody
Spanish.
twerking. And it's always good to see, the gay icon, Ricky Martin. He looked actually pretty good. As far as the show itself, I found it entertaining. I mean, it was
I
kind of
couldn't tell if it was
upbeat and
entertaining because I
down
couldn't
and.
understand it. Do you know what
Well,
I
he
mean?
didn't have to understand.
I
He got that
gather it
wave was
was
anti-American, pro-Puerto Rico. It's a leftist bullshit deal.
like,
But
yeah, a wave of immigration. Here now, Jacob brings up a good point. He said he listened to Kid Rock or Turning Point USA. I want to know how many people listened to Bad Bunny. Remember, many bars with many customers switched to Kid Rock, and those views would not be reflected in those numbers. I know Danielle Jurinski was, she works or owns a bar, restaurant, and she said, I think it was like 80% of the people at her bar wanted to watch the Kid Rock one. And then he says, wasn't Goodell's dad a commie?
Yeah. And
And we got
so,
Ray has his hand up. Should we go? Hey, Ray. Ray Garcia, man of the day with the petition, the meetings yesterday. Hey, Ray, go ahead
Ray.
and unmute yourself and jump in.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear
We
you.
can.
All right. So I got a couple things on the halftime show. I think that was a push for the illegal immigration, the open border. It
I
was
think so
the
too.
flags representing every South American country out there.
Right.
So that's what I think it was. Myself, I was watching the halftime show from Turning Point.
What'd you think of
Much, much
that
better. I loved it. It was absolutely. I didn't think Kid Rock sang enough. I was like, that was too quick. Come on, I want Kid Rock back on. So yeah, that was great. Second point I had to do with what Mark had said. He said that they wanted to do a appeal from the floor. Sorry to tell you guys, on the petition, the original petition we had, the very beginning of it, it's highlighted even. It says that there's no agenda
You cannot
amendments.
change the agenda.
Yeah, on from the floor. But we can have a roll call vote, which is what I have always wanted.
Okay.
If you guys remember the last online meeting that Britta held, when I was calling for a roll call vote, she wouldn't call me at first. She finally did call me. She was being forced to call me. They kept my mic muted, so I couldn't do it. And
And then she kept voting until she got the results she wanted, right? It was like we
And they kept
won't do
blaming
that.
technical difficulties. Yeah. So
Okay.
yeah, I am definitely going to have for a roll call vote so everybody will be on the record for how they vote.
Okay. All right. Well, Ray, thank you. Anything else you want to chime in on?
Listening to your guys' show. Love it.
Okay,
Absolutely
thank you.
love
Thank you. Hear
it.
from Jacob again. If you notice the Doritos potato chips and soda was half price this week, it's because RFK Jr. took those items off the food stamp acceptable list.
All right.
Well, I was reading a thing. Yeah, they were going to lower their prices, and in part because people weren't buying them as much. I mean, I never thought you'd see like a feel good. It almost made me cry, the potato chip ad. You know, it's
Doesn't
like,
take much, huh?
yeah, well, no, it didn't. But it was like, you know, the family farm. And like, I thought it was weird that if you scan this thing, you could go 72 hours from the potato in the field to the chip in your bag. I'm like, I wasn't clear on what that was, but you know. Anyway, yeah, there were kind of weird potato chip ads. But I think, though, you know, we're all right in terms of the NFL halftime show. And I think what's sad is the NFL clearly want the NFL, the business side of it, you know, doesn't care what the athletes think unless they're forced to with union
Well,
agreements.
nobody, Roger Goodell doesn't care. I mean,
Yeah.
unless there's a majority or two-thirds of these old decrepit white guys are going to stop him, he's going to do whatever he wants. So he came up with this DEI rule called the Rooney Rule, where you have to interview all these black coaches before you
Oh,
interview
that's
a white
right.
girl, all this other bullshit. And they all go, okay. And why they put up with this from this whackball lefty, I don't know. I mean, I
Well,
just
you know, and I
don't
think the NFL has a problem on its hands, and I'm not sure how they're going to address it. I mean, you have all of these streaming services now, but it was interesting. So our son Rav was going to be 15. We have driver's ed starts this weekend. Yeah, he was. You know, he periodically came down to join us to watch the game, but he said he was watching it in his room. And I said, "Well, how are you watching it in your room? Because you don't have a TV." And he said, "Well, he just was watching the highlight clips on TikTok."
Well, there you go.
So that's how kids watch it, right? So if you're the NFL, I mean, maybe that's his thing. I don't know. Maybe he's hoping that, you know, you can make up. I mean, I think if you're the whole TV industry, the sports TV industry, you've got some issues. I mean, betting has saved it, I think, but at
Oh,
least for the
yeah,
now time
absolutely.
being. But you know, kids Rev's age and younger, they're not going to watch. Why would Rev? He's like, why would I want to watch the whole game? He said, I can kind of play or do whatever I'm doing, then just kind of crawl up the
He didn't
latest
have a 3 hour
clips.
attention span. Forget it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he knows everything. He knew what was going on. He knew what was, you know, who was scoring in the score. And he says, I just watched the highlights. That, I mean, you know, we think of the highlights as coming like tomorrow afternoon, right? After
Yeah,
the sports
he thinks the
department.
highlights come like 30 seconds
Yeah.
after the play.
So it's, I don't know. I don't know who they're gonna. And oh yeah, and then sportscasters from all over wish the Broncos had been in the Super Bowl. Oh, I know. That's the one thing I will say. My excellent football analysis watching New England. If Bo Nix had been in the game, I mean, no offense to Sid Bo,
Oh,
but I think we could have won,
We
but
would have won. We would have been world champs for the umpteenth time, but
oh.
no such luck. No such luck.
All right, and now Chuck, and now I have to go again. Sorry, guys, I'm busy here. So I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Chuck, you take over on Chuck wanted to talk about Epstein today too.
Okay, so
All
Julie
right.
hates all the Epstein stuff. She can't stand it, so she has to she leaves the program so she doesn't have to consider Jeffrey Epstein. I, on the other hand, am endlessly fascinated with Jeffrey Epstein, how he got all his money, how he conned everybody, how he did every dirty thing that he did, and who he did it with. And right now they've got the deal where he has typhoid married. All you have to have done is to have spent any time with Epstein, and they throw you into the dust pile. So I don't know if you guys remember George Mitchell. He was the Democratic Senate Majority Leader. Great guy, seemed very nice, almost bland, but a very nice guy from Maine. He was your nice Democratic kind of mayor, or rather senator. And he was incredibly instrumental in getting the Belfast Accords through in Northern Ireland, which resulted in peace in Northern Ireland for the last 30 years. So that was in 98. And so because of that, they started a scholarship deal, kind of like the Fulbright thing, but you got it gave 12 people scholarships to go to Irish or Northern Ireland universities. I don't think too many people want to go to the University of Belfast, but lots of people go like to Dublin. And the only problem is that nobody wanted to pay for it. But nonetheless, he also the Mitchell Institute. I mean, he is a lifelong beloved figure in Maine, but not anymore. He's out of there because he came up on the various seeing that he had meetings. Didn't say he participated in abusing girls. It didn't say he did anything. He just met with Jeffrey Epstein sometime after his conviction in 2012 when everybody met with him. But so the Mitchell Institute said, nope, we're no longer going to be the Mitchell Institute. The scholarships, which are no longer any good because they have no money, they're gone. No more Mitchell. They're going to be, I don't know who they're going to be, Somali scholarships, hopefully, or something, where you get to go to Mogadishu. But he's been written off, this beloved figure, and for what? Almost nothing. But I want to watch this. So the key, if you knew Mitch, you knew Jeffrey Epstein at all, you had to come up with your story. And it did, you had to come up with your story. So this is Jeffrey, this is rather, this is Howard Lutnick. Howard Lutnick is Trump's Secretary of Commerce. He made a great speech in Davos and really impressed people and so forth. So his interview with him on Jeffrey Epstein with a reporter.
He opens the door, and there's a massage table in the middle of the room, and candles all around and stuff. So I ask very insightful, cutting questions. I say to him, "Massage table in the middle of your house? How often do you have a massage?" And he says, "Every day." And then he gets weirdly close to me, and he says, "And the right kind of massage."
Ooh.
Now, my wife is standing here. So she looks at me, and I look at her, and we say, "I'm sorry, we have to go." And we left. And in the 6 or 8 steps it takes to get from his house to my house, my wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again.
Total unadulterated lies. Total. I mean, that's a great story. It's believable, isn't it? I mean, oh, wow. Because he was the next door neighbor to him, and he invited him over to see his place, which is the biggest private residence in New York. And so it seems like a believable story. Only problem is they actually released the Epstein tapes. And you find out you have these emails from Howard Lutnick over to Jeffrey Epstein saying, "Great, looking forward this afternoon to coming over to your island, Pedo Island on St. James and so forth. with my wife and kids, with a wife and kids. And so the person he said he would never be around him again went to the island, and then they with his wife and his kids, and they had lunch, and then he sent me an email afterwards saying, "Lovely time, just great." And there are more emails where he gets in business with them. They're putting money together for a company. And so Howard Lutnick and Epstein were partners in some business. Well, I mean, wow, it's not an easy thing to. I mean, everybody does white lies or even some other lies, but normally you try to keep them within, plausible deniability. That if you met with and went to the island with and took your kids to see him and in business with him post 2012, you'd figure out some other one lie that's a little closer to the truth, saying, I don't know how you come up with it, but not one in which it's 100% a lie on live television. I mean, just unbelievable. And so if you just knew, I mean, it's like Typhoid Mary. If you just, it doesn't matter if you all you did was talk to him. Apparently, you have to resign from whatever ridiculous posts you have in life. And this is cancellation at its finest. I mean, you have to resign from everything in life. There's nothing, if you haven't resigned from everything, it isn't a proper shunning. And so a great cancellation. And we got, when I was at KNUS, I made a joke about a nice school shooting that nobody gets hurt. I got the same treatment. I got, them calling like the Cotto Golf Hall of Fame, which I was on, and saying, you must resign. For what? Making a joke. Oh yeah, you must resign. So, but here it's even better. It's even better to make a joke. He just, all you have to do is come up on his calendar. I think somebody just put on our chat box that the Norwegian prince, he came up on the thing. So if you come up anywhere and your only one is to say, I knew him before 2008 when he got indicted for child. After that, you're dead. You have to resign and your life is over with. Lord Mandelson, just the highest of the high of the Labour Party. Everybody, he had to resign from the House of Lords. And now they want to put him in prison. And they say, oh no, you've got to go for knowing Epstein and talking to him. In his case, at least he gave him some state secrets, which at least allows a little bit of kind of, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that kind of stuff. But Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, it's just amazing to watch all these phony, baloney, bullshit hypocrites talk about, oh, I knew right away. I saw him and he was personification of evil, and therefore I got away with him as far as I possibly can. I don't know if you listened to Peter Boyle's show on Saturday, but he had this amazing guy, Mike Connors, who worked for the Post and the Time magazine. He said he was at a dance one over in 23rd Parish, and he met with Ghislaine and Maxwell and Epstein, and Epstein exposed himself to him. And you kind of go, oh, that's good for a Saturday show. But somehow I think there's more to this story than he said. And I can't wait till Peter has him back on. But what an amazing world where this is like Amish, the Amish shun. They're big on shunning, where if you do something that the community doesn't like, you're shunned. And then there's always a split on whether shunning means you can't even talk to the person, you can't even put them in your eyesight, or whether there's some r wiggle room. But apparently, we're adopting Amish rules on Jeffrey Epstein. So if you, anytime after 2012, no matter how innocent, no matter having zero to do with his sexcapades and so forth, you must be shunned. And right now, we got half of the documents, a tranche of $3 million, but they got 3 million more documents. And I think they ought to let them out a million at a time, so they have more time to find people and then just totally destroy their lives, even though they did nothing wrong other than happen to have a meeting with Jeffrey Epstein. I think that is great. We've got to really go out there and make sure anybody who's ever met or is in his calendar or talked to him on the phone gets the official Amos shunning, and they must resign from every position they hold, no matter how small. And that's what I liked about George Mitchell. Beloved George Mitchell is now the evil, and he's kind of the equivalent of a pedophile because he had a meeting with it. Now Bill Gates, now he's a little harder to totally shun because he's worth the second richest or sometimes first richest person in the world. But he got totally trashed. We now know he was purportedly was with Russian girls who gave him STDs, and then he wanted drugs to give to his wonderful wife. And his wonderful wife did an interview, and she said, "Don't ask me any questions." She said, "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How'd you know your husband was up to things with, wasn't just it terrible? What else do you know?" Said, "Don't ask me. Don't ask me." And of course, no one will. But it's an amazing, amazing one. And so they'll keep on going through the books, they'll keep on going through his calendar, and they'll find there's only one person they found, a Yale chemistry professor, and he's 70, and he said, "I'll go F off." "Yeah, I met Jeffrey Epstein. So what? Get off of my phone." So he's the only kind of decent one. All the rest of them, they just, and you have to have a line. This is the official line. "I deeply regret ever meeting or talking to Jeffrey Epstein. I deeply regret it." Which means what? I mean, yeah, you're getting in trouble now, so you quote unquote deeply regret it. Did you re deeply regret it at the time when you try to get him to give you some funds for something? But I deeply, and that's what Bill Gates said. He deeply, deeply regretted it. And that's what George Mitchell, he's 92. Poor guy's 92 years old and in an old age home, and they're destroying whatever, the beloved one. And they got, luckily, for the George Mitchell one, they have a good Somali population. So you throw out George Mitchell and bring in some nice Somali Leering Center people. But it's amazing, and it's hard to figure out. They say, "Well, how did he make his money?" And the best we can tell, he didn't blackmail people, or he got three or four or five people hand him hundreds of millions of dollars, including Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. I mean, kind of like, "Oh, okay, I'll give you 50 million. Here you go." And Les Wexler, "Oh, yeah, you want a couple hundred million? Oh, that's a good tax tip you gave me. I know you don't have a degree in tax and don't know anything about estate planning, but that was a great tip. How much you like? 100 million? 200 million?" So the time of his death, he had a half a billion in assets. Now half of that's gone because the quote unquote victims who gave him massages are just becoming millionaires themselves. Virginia Dufresne, who was Prince Andrew's one, had $22 million given to her by her lawyers. So you got all the shyster lawyers hitting up anybody who's mentioned and saying, "Well, you want us to sue you? If you don't, this poor victim who gave him a massage deserves a few million dollars." And the greedy lawyers, of course, take your third or more of it, and then hunt the next one. And they got one who said she went over to Britain, wants King Charles to meet with her. "Yeah, sure. Yeah, King, meet with her, but you need to pay her 5 or 10 or 20 million dollars ahead of time." And she'll say, "Well, we forgive you." If he doesn't, who knows? So it's just amazing. And the one I like was Trump's response when Marjorie Taylor Greene came to the White House and said he ought to have the victims, and there are, God, 50 to 100 or something, that gave Jeffrey Epstein a massage, and some gave him a happy release massage, apparently. Have him over to the White House. You had Super Bowl teams. You had the Stanley Cup champions, and said, "Well, why not have all these girls?" And they don't want to be so cool, revealed. And he said, "Well, what have they done that I'd want to honor them at the White House?" They voluntarily gave massages to a total slime ball. That's when I'm supposed to invite them and honor them because they're quote unquote victims. We love victims. And it doesn't matter whether, and a lot of these girls acted as kind of procuring madams. And so they would bring 40 or 50 other girls. And they are too victims, you know, because even though they're acting as pimps to bring other victims, they are a victim themselves. So they're entitled to a few million. And so if you can possibly think of any time where you were somewhere near Jeffrey Epstein, especially in Florida, in Palm Beach, and claim that you gave him a massage, and you get two, five, $10 million easily, easily. So it's a real chance to make some good money. The rest of his fortune, although he gave, and that was another one. Oh, the Norwegian one, this Norwegian woman, he left something in his will. Oh man, he left something in his will to this woman and her daughter. And so then now they're cutting off their head. He left something, so they all demand that she come forward, and we put her in jail because he thought enough of her to leave it in his will. Is there anything worse than having Jeffrey Epstein leave you something in his will? His final girlfriend apparently is the biggest recipient of his will, although he had, you know, half a million, and now it's down like 128 million after all the lawyers and the scavenger masseuse have gotten their share. But that's a it's a strange, strange world out there. And it's gonna get even more fun as more come out. So I'll have to do these by myself because Julie won't participate in anything related to Jeffrey Epstein in case they come for assets or something. But all right. Well, thanks everybody. Appreciate it. And I'd like to thank Chairman Ray Garcia. I'd like to thank everybody who came on. We had Mark Hampton and everyone else. And we'll see you Wednesday and give you a report on how the meeting scheduling is going. Take care.
Great show, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.